go. Then I'm just, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down. Black or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Isn't it ironic getting ready to go to the G7 in Canada to fight for our country on trade, where the worst trade is, man. Then off to Singapore to meet with North Korea and the nuclear problem. But back home, we still have the 13 angry Democrats pushing the witch hunt.
All right, boys, prepare yourselves. We're about to enter French Canada.
French Canada?
There's no Canada like French Canada. It's the best Canada in the land. The other Canada is hardly Canada. If you lived here for a day, you'd understand.
Ha ha ha! Welcome to French Canada! We have everything a heart could desire. Trapezes, trampolines, and lots of cheese.
Would you like a moustache?
Just stay calm, boys. French Canadians are a little odd.
Donald Trump has left the country. He's attending the G7 summit in Charlevoix, Quebec. Or as Trump calls it, Beaver France. It's going to be awkward, a little awkward, because Donald Trump imposed steel and aluminum tariffs against all six other countries in the G7, and now he's going to have a summit with them.
Before heading to the summit, President Trump sparked controversy by saying he wants Russia to be welcomed back into the G8.
We have a world to run, and in the G7, which used to be the G8, they threw Russia out. They should let Russia come back in, because we should have Russia at the negotiating table.
I don't know if Trump colluded with Russia, but if everyone was accusing me of colluding with Russia, I wouldn't be caught dead mentioning their name. Like, if your girlfriend accused you of cheating with Keisha, even if you didn't do it, just shut up about Keisha. Just shut up. Hey, babe, you know who we should invite to the party? Keisha. Clearly, Trump doesn't know how to take a clue, because he kept bringing up Keisha all weekend long.
Some people like the idea of bringing Russia back in. This used to be the G8. Not the G7. And something happened a while ago where Russia is no longer in. I think it would be an asset to have Russia back in.
The something that happened that got them kicked out of the G8 was the invasion and annexation of Crimea. Do you think that Crimea should be recognized as Russia?
Crimea was let go during the Obama administration. And, you know, Obama can say all he wants, but he allowed Russia to take Crimea.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Russia annexing Crimea wasn't really a big deal. But we must never forgive Obama for letting them commit this atrocity, which was not a big deal at all. I mean, who even knows what a Crimea is anyway? I mean, it's just a random little place whose blood is in Obama's hands! Anyway, I think we should invite Keisha. That's what I'm saying.
When Trump took office, he promised to confront America's enemies, and now he's doing just that. Pushing back against one of our fiercest foes, an aggressive, hostile nation that has been a thorn in the side of the United States for decades, Canada.
Here's a quick recap of how Trump clashed with our allies this weekend in Canada. Right before leaving the summit early, Trump praised his fellow world leaders and agreed to sign the G7's joint statement of official values.
I would say that the level of relationship is a 10. We have a great relationship. Angela and Emmanuel and Justin, I would say the relationship is a 10.
A 10. He even refers to our allies like he's judging contestants at a Miss USA pageant.
Canada, total 10. Strong military, gorgeous economy, looks great in a swimsuit.
Is it 10 out of 100? He had told Emmanuel Macron when he visited the White House last month that in terms of trade, Europe has been worse for the United States than China has been. U.S. exports with Canada in 2017 were $341.2 billion, while imports were $332.8 billion. That gives us a trade surplus of $8.4 billion.
Boom.
As you were heading into these G7 talks, there was a sense that the America's closest allies were frustrated with you and angry with you, and that you were angry with them, and that you were leaving here early to go meet for more friendlier talks with Kim Jong-un in Singapore. And I'm wondering if you view it the same way, and do you view the U.S. alliance system shifting under your presidency away
from... Who are you with, out of curiosity?
CNN.
I figured. Fake news, CNN. The worst. But, you know, I could tell by the question. I have no idea you were CNN after the question. I was just curious as to who you're with. You were CNN. The relationship that I've had is great. So you can tell that to your fake friends at CNN.
No bell.
He sounds like a high school sophomore whose best friend started hanging out with the cool kids.
Well, I just got promoted to treasurer of the chess club, so tell that to your fake friends!
Every time they end with what's called a joint communique, an agreement of intention between the nations. Trump agreed to sign it, but after he left, Justin Trudeau said this about opposing tariffs on the U.S.
I highlighted directly to the president that Canadians did not take it lightly. That the United States has moved forward with significant tariffs on our steel and aluminum industry, particularly did not take lightly the fact that it's based on a national security reason that for Canadians who either themselves or whose parents or community members have stood shoulder to shoulder with American soldiers in far-off lands and conflicts from the First World War onwards, that it's kind of insulting. And I highlighted that it was not helping in our renegotiation of NAFTA, and that it would be with regret, but it would be with absolute certainty and firmness that we move forward with retaliatory measures on July 1st, applying equivalent tariffs to the ones that the Americans have unjustly applied to us. I have made it very clear to the president that it is not something we relish doing, but it is something that we absolutely will do, because Canadians were polite, were reasonable, but we also will not be pushed around.
But Trump was not amused. He then unsigned the communique. He basically broke up with NATO via tweet.
Hey,
not even a real country anyway.
President Trump stuns the world, pulling out of the G7's official agreement and issuing a warning to allies.
We're like the piggy bank that everybody's robbing.
This unprecedented friction with some of America's closest allies. The president and his top aides are launching this all-out assault against Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
The president, en route to Singapore, accused Justin Trudeau of false statements and called him very dishonest and weak.
So Trump went into the G7 for a run-of-the-mill check-in with America's allies and then came out full-on beefing with Canada, the Ned Flanders of countries.
Hello, neighborino to the north. I sure like the cut of your gibberish.
Cohen doodly
diddly. Oodly.
Diddly
oodly.
Chicken doodly.
Loony oodly.
Noodly noddly diddly doddly.
Loony oodly.
Diddly
and maple aidly.
Noodly noddly diddly doodly.
It's safe to say that no one expected this to go this way. And other G7 leaders were shocked by Trump's actions. Emmanuel Macron called Trump incoherent, and Angela Merkel said that Trump pulling out of the deal was sobering and depressing. Now, the reason President Trump went all Pusha T on Trudeau is because he claims that Trudeau was super nice to him in person, but then as soon as Trump left, Trudeau held a press conference saying that Canada still planned to retaliate against the US's new tariffs. Because you see, Trump has a policy. You don't criticize him behind his back, all right? And you also don't criticize him to his face. The question is, why on earth would Trump react in such an extreme way to a trade dispute with such a close and unthreatening ally? Well, according to Trump's economic advisor, this is all part of a greater plan.
POTUS is not going to let a Canadian prime minister push him around, push him, POTUS, around President Trump on the eve of this. He is not going to permit any show of weakness on the trip to negotiate with North Korea, nor should he.
So this was about North Korea?
Of course it was, in large part.
What the hell is going on with Trump's foreign policy? Well, The Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg has been interviewing administration officials to see if they can describe what's called a Trump doctrine. And one senior staffer summed it up as, no friends, no enemies. Good news, we're halfway there. And Trump doesn't believe that the U.S. should be part of any alliance at all. And that even though allies expect a level of loyalty from us, he doesn't believe that this should factor into the equation. So no loyalty to any alliance, particularly if he just met a younger, hotter alliance and the old alliance just had a baby.
For anyone looking for a master strategy in all this, there isn't one. Trump's petulant, he's impulsive, he wants to get his way and at the same time be adored.
Then Trump tweeted, PM Justin Trudeau of Canada acted so meek and mild during our G7 meetings, only to give a news conference after I left saying that U.S. tariffs were kind of insulting and he will not be pushed around. Very dishonest and weak.
He really kind of stabbed us in the back. He really actually, you know what? He did a great disservice to the whole G7.
There's a special place in hell for any foreign leader that engages in bad faith diplomacy with President Donald J. Trump and then tries to stab him in the back on the way out the door.
So, in essence, to win his Nobel Peace Prize with North Korea, Trump is going to start a war with Canada.
Canada's our enemy now. In fact, according to the Washington Post, no U.S. officials have ever spoken this way about any U.S. ally ever. These are the kind of words that normally precede military action. We're going to war with Canada. Oh, my God. We're going to have to put Alex Trebek in a detention center. I bet you don't have an answer for that one, do you, you smug bastard?
And when called upon to fight in our name, only do one thing.
Win. We have to win. We have to start winning wars again.
I have to say, when I was young, at high school, in college, everybody used to say, we never lost a war. We never lost a war. You remember. Some of you are right there with me, and you remember. We never lost a war. America never lost. And now, we never win a war. We never win.
We don't fight to win.
We don't fight to win.
So you gotta win,
or don't fight it at all.
Trump was clearly humiliated by the fact that a foreign leader stood up to him. But here's the thing. Canadians can be forgiven for not knowing exactly where Trump stands on trade, since he has often been inconsistent about his own position, sometimes even in the same sentence, like when he said this to CNBC in January.
I'm a free trader. Totally. I'm a fair trader. I'm all kinds of trader.
What makes this even crazier is that while he's slapping around our allies, Trump is stroking our enemies.
This used to be the G8. Not the G7. And something happened a while ago where Russia is no longer in. I think it would be an asset to have Russia back in.
Wait, I'm sorry, something happened a while ago? You mean the invasion of Crimea, eastern Ukraine, and shooting down of a passenger jet? Did you just yada yada over war crimes? Can you do that with any atrocity?
I mean, who knows how World War I happened? A web of entangling European alliances engineered by Otto von Bismarck, yada, yada, yada. War Horse wins the Tony. It's a happy ending.
And that wasn't the only time Trump shilled for his Kremlin crew.
They threw Russia out. They should let Russia come back in because we should have Russia at the negotiating table.
This really looks like Russia has something on you. What is it? Now let us leave the old world order behind.
Well, the old world may be dead.
Shake off the dust of those old alliances and return to the Kim-Trump summit already in progress.
Today is the main event when President Trump faces off with Kim Jong-un.
Tonight, the most historic summit of our lifetime. The dictatorial chubby versus the unfaithful hubby. In this corner, standing 5'3", he's the Rodman befriending, possible world ending, crowd thrilling, uncle killing, cartoonish villain. Put your hands together for the oon shaped like a balloon. Kim the Pyongyang Mangla Jong-un. And in this corner,
weighing in at 239. The POTUS who lost the popular votus. The cheeseburger loving, immigrant shoving, porn star humping, Forbes on the rumping, slap a mutton with his finger on the button. The tweeter who's a cheater. The Comey firing, son-in-law hiring, accusing Obama of tapping the wiring. He's the media hater, possible traitor, with fists the size of taters. Please welcome the colluder in chief, President Donald Trump. And he just declared war on Canada.
Talk to us about this moment. I mean, this is history. We are living, regardless of what happens in that meeting between the two dictators, what we are seeing right now, this is history.
I haven't slept in 25 hours.
They're going to meet one-on-one, or one-on-in, for about 45 minutes. And Trump says he doesn't even need that much time to tell if Kim is serious about denuclearization.
How long would it take? I think within the first minute. I'll know.
How?
Just my touch, my feel. That's what I do.
What a historic day. North Korea and the United States meeting for the first time ever. We've all got to admit that we were wrong, right? We said the man couldn't do it. We said his temper would blow up the summit. But yesterday, he proved everyone wrong and turned the nuclear summit in Singapore into a huge win for himself. So let's swallow our pride and give it up for a leader who's much smarter than we thought. Kim Jong-un, everybody, give it up for Kim Jong-un. This dude crushed it yesterday. I know everyone's focus is gonna be on Trump, but this summit belonged to little Kim. He was the belle of the ball. Think about it, the government paid, right? The government of China paid for his private plane. The government of Singapore paid for his hotel. And the president of the United States flew to meet him on his side of the world. This guy was treated like the world's biggest diva. He probably had one of those riders in his contract that said, no green M&Ms in the dressing room. He was like, you take out all the green M&Ms and you send them to a labor camp.
From the hermit kingdom to the grand stage, North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un soaking up the Singapore spotlight.
I did not expect to see the supreme leader coming by.
It was an amazing sight. I couldn't quite believe that this was really happening.
On a tour about town Monday night, Kim taking selfies with his host. The ruthless tyrant cheered on by spectators, getting the rock star treatment.
People are screaming for a brutal tyrant like he's the newest member of BTS. Like, except in this world, K-pop stands for killing populations. Like, what are you doing? I mean, even Kim Jong-un is probably surprised by this reaction. He's like, I'm used to screaming, but not happy screaming. What is this? But it turns out, Kim's biggest admirer wasn't in those crowds outside. No, fanboy number one was right there at the summit.
The man you met today, Kim Jong-un, as you know, has killed family members, has starved his own people, is responsible for the death of Otto Warmbier. Why are you so comfortable calling him very talented?
Well, he is very talented. Anybody that takes over a situation like he did at 26 years of age and is able to run it and run it tough, I don't say he was nice, or I don't say anything about it. He ran it. Very few people at that age. You can take one out of 10,000, probably.
He really has been very open and I think very honorable.
We're getting along. You see the relationship. We're getting along.
Great personality and very smart. Good combination. Very worthy, very smart negotiator. Absolutely. He's a very talented man.
Really, he's got a great personality. He's a, you know, funny guy. He's a very smart guy. He's a great negotiator.
So we got along very well. We got along from the beginning.
Well, he's very talented.
Very smart, very good negotiator. Wants to do the right thing.
You trust him?
I do trust him, yeah. He trusts me, I believe. I really do.
We got along really well. We had a great chemistry. I mean, I know people where there is no chemistry. No matter what you do, just don't have it. We had it right from the beginning.
I would love to have him at the White House, whatever it takes. And I would love to have him at the White House. And I think he'd love to be there.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself.
Some may have seen that and thought, oh, Trump's being nice for now. But when he gets Kim alone in that negotiation room, he's going to denuke his nuts off. But it turns out only one man lost his nuts in that room.
Trump and Kim signed a joint document committing to work towards, quote, complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. The agreement is short on specifics, like whether the denuclearization will be verifiable and irreversible.
There's nothing new in this agreement. These are vague assertions
from North Korea.
The piece of paper that got signed yesterday is frankly weak. I mean, this is not a strong piece of paper.
So hold up. Donald Trump flew across the world to Singapore, and all he got was Kim Jong-un saying, "I'll think about giving up my nukes." That's all he got. They could have done that over text. Because you realize Kim didn't commit to anything. He basically Facebook RSVP'd a nuclear deal. That's all he did.
So what did Kim Jong-un get? Well, he got a fully paid few days in Singapore, which he seemed to like and enjoy. He got the world stage. He got to sit person to person with the President of the United States. He got a number of concessions, in my mind, from the standpoint of having that meeting. But also, then Mr. Trump says, we're not going to have war games, as he said. And when I look at that statement, it couldn't be any more vague or any more benign in terms of there's nothing at all there that indicates that there is a seriousness of purpose on the part of Kim Jong-un to actually go down a denuclearization path.
We didn't get a whole lot. We have nothing concrete.
We got nothing in return.
It's difficult to determine, you know, what of concrete nature has occurred.
He did not get what even he said that he wanted.
You have to promise more. Kim gave us so little. You have to promise more than Kim did when you signed the iTunes user agreement. And I'm not making that up. As Gizmodo pointed out, Apple makes you agree to not use these products for any purposes prohibited by United States law, including, without limitation, the development, design, manufacture, or production of missiles or nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons. That is unbelievable.
President Trump making a massive concession, agreeing to stop joint military exercises between the United States and South Korea, exercises that greatly annoyed the North Korean leader. South Korea caught off guard by the president's announcement, responding that they need to figure out the accurate meaning and intention behind the statement.
Good luck with that, South Korea. Yeah, good luck. We've been trying to figure out Trump's accurate meaning and intention since the day he stepped off that escalator.
So the result of this meeting was to agree to another meeting. It's not exactly a nothing burger. It's more like a bun that says, we agree bilaterally to the potential future placement of meat somewhere in the toasted zone. Trump downplayed what America gave up.
Only a person that dislikes Donald Trump would say that I've agreed to make a big commitment.
Fun fact, that line is straight from his wedding vows.
Trump has managed this summit very much like a made-for-TV spectacle, fueling speculation about whether it would even happen or not. Minting commemorative coins, writing dramatic letters, and staging photo ops with game show-sized envelopes.
But you don't give Fireman of the Year to an arsonist who sets fires and then puts them out. And, like, you know, Trump exacerbated this conflict, he inflamed this conflict, and now he wants credit for essentially de-escalating his own crazy rhetoric.
I want to talk to you about what I was hearing all weekend and all night last night when we were on the air from the president's friends and outside advisors. One, this was never off. That was a Trumpian head fake. This was always all systems go. One person told me that the Sun King would never miss an opportunity to command the world stage, to command all of us, to cover it wall to wall. This was never off. That was a hoax. Talk about fake news. The president pulled one over all of our eyes. Two, the president needed this so desperately. This is not just foreign policy. This is not just about nuclear weapons that most people don't, with a straight face, suggest he even understands. This is about his own political attributes of showing himself as a strong leader. And if you look at the way Fox News covered this, you know, they all but awarded him the Nobel Peace Prize. Can you talk about the political importance of what went down yesterday to this president?
Sure. All of my reporting lines up exactly what you were saying, Nicole. This summit was going to happen. That was a bluff.
And Trump's already seeing ways to make money off this deal.
They have great beaches. You see that whenever they're exploding their cannons into the ocean, right? I said, boy, look at that. Wouldn't that make a great condo behind? And I explained. I said, you know, instead of doing that, you could have the best hotels in the world right there. Think of it from a real estate perspective.
If you give up your nuclear weapons now, you can stay one night free at my new Trump Hotel Pyongyang.
I told him, you may not want this. You may want to do a much smaller version of this. I mean, you're going to do something, but you may want to do a smaller version. You may not want that with the trains and the everything, you know, super everything at the top. And maybe you won't want that. It's going to be up to them.
You know what? Let me just put you in a one-bedroom democracy, you know? Yeah. Just see how you like it. Yeah, you're gonna, if you love it, then in 5 years you come back and you say, you know what? Do you have a human rights package? And then we do that. Yeah. Yeah, and then you can convert the labor camp into a wine cellar. Yeah, we can work on this. We can work on it.
Clearly what happened here was Trump didn't feel the need to prepare for a nuclear summit because he thought his million-dollar listing skills would carry him through. And it turns out if the sales pitch fails, he knows that he can always fall back on his other skill.
Honestly, I think he's going to do these things. I may be wrong. I mean, I may stand before you in 6 months and say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know that I'll ever admit that, but I'll find some kind of an excuse.
Did he suddenly become self-aware?
If I'm wrong, I'll make up an excuse. Then I'll start to believe the excuse. Then I'll attack anyone who remembers what I used to say, because it was all Obama's idea.
Thanks for the song. This week from South Park, the
Modern Lovers,
a
Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Stephen Colbert, Trevor Noah, Seth Myers, Ali Belshi, Stephanie Ruler,
Justin
Trudeau,
Jack
Berman, Kristen Welker, Ned Flanders,
Larry
Kudlow, Jake Tapper, Peter Navarro, Peter Serafinovich, Abby Huntsman, Peter Alexander, Holly
Jackson,
Brennan Christiane Armanpour, Nicole Wallace.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.